Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Wow. Gee, it is full this morning. There's quite a few people here this morning. It's great having everybody here together. Who's ready for the Word of God this morning? Hey, Happy New Year. We can still say Happy New Year because it's still January 2025. I think we can say Happy New Year right up to the end of January. But Happy New Year. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, Happy New Year. Awesome. So good. Ali and I and our family, we had a great holiday. We needed a bit of a break over Christmas and New Year, and we had a great holiday. We went to Perth and visited some family over there, Ali's side of the family. That was great for about 7 days. And then we came back and we went and saw some of my family, quite a large family, 10 brothers and sisters, so all of their partners and then children, nieces and nephews. And so I think there was like a massive gathering of probably about 50, 60 people. It was huge. And I went down to Port Arthur and it was so much fun just having some family time and just getting away. It's always good. I feel refreshed, but I feel this sense of faith stepping into this year. I don't know about you, but I feel like there's been a shift that has happened in the spirit. And I really feel that this sense of faith, you always sort of feel that at the beginning of the year. You know, you cross over into January and a brand new year, 2025, and it's like, right, I'm going to make some resolutions. I feel this sense of faith and expectation and the beginning of a new year. But how many know that there is more? Come on, there is more for us to experience in God. There's so much more that God has for each one of us. Amen? There's more for us to explore. There's more for us to experience in God. There are promises and prophetic words that have not yet come to pass in your life. How many here have felt like they've received a promise from God or a prophetic word from God and it hasn't yet come to pass? Pretty much everybody. Come on, be brave. Pretty much everybody. That means that God has got so much more for you. God has spoken. You know, His word says that His word will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish that which He pleases. So when God speaks to your life, when God speaks a word or a prophetic word or a promise in Scripture and you lay a hold of that promise, it's going to come to pass. It's not going to be void. Because God's word never fails. Amen? God's word never fails. So I'm really excited about this year. New beginnings. Everybody say new beginnings. New beginnings. Old things are made new. God is a restorer. Amen? He restores things. He loves making old things new. That's His nature. And I believe that this morning He wants to infuse you and I with faith and with hope. He wants to infuse you with a greater sense of faith and hope. You know, it's only by faith and by patience that we lay a hold of God's promises for our lives. We have to believe and we have to see it. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I am making all things new." These words are trustworthy and true. God is making all things new. That's actually what He does. He loves making things new in your life. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that some old things need to fall away? We need to let them go. We need to let go of the past and we need to press in to what God has for us. Amen. A new year brings new beginnings, new opportunities, a renewed sense of faith and hope for each one of us. How many of you believe that, come on, there is more? There is more. There is more that God wants to speak into your life, that he wants you to enter into, to experience. There is so much more. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the power of a faith-filled life. The power of... Someone get excited about that. Yeah. Come on, the power of a faith-filled life. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. And faith is really, really important for the Christian life. Amen? When you see a life following Jesus, when you see a life following Jesus, you know that there's going to be adventure in that life. You know, following Jesus is such an adventure. There is so much more. When you get born again, you get filled with the Spirit of God, that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. It's the doorway to a life of faith and experiences in God. And I know that God has got so much more for each one of us here today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the assurance of things that you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities that you've never seen. I don't know about you, but I have this sense of conviction that God is going to do something incredible in my life and in your life this year. I've got this sense that God is up to something. God is about to break out in your life, in your family's life, maybe in your career, in your job, maybe finances, maybe your marriage. God is going to do something incredible in your life this year. Come on, stir up faith. When I think of faith, I think of buoyancy. I think of a life vest. You know, when you put on a life vest and, you know, maybe you're in a boat or you jump out of a boat and you've got a life vest on, you immediately get to the surface. You immediately come to the surface. You don't sink because you've got that life vest on. That's like faith. When you have a life full of faith, you become buoyant. Immediately you've got this sense of buoyancy and faith comes. Don't let fear, doubt, and unbelief be your portion this year. And that's a decision that we have to make. That's the decision. I'm not going to be led by my fear, by my doubt, or by my unbelief. I'm going to be led by faith. I'm believing God for everything He has for me this year. Amen? I feel God wants us to pray strong, specific prayers this year, especially at the start of the year. You know, in James it says, you have not because you ask not. So what are you asking for? What are you believing for this year? Come on, stir it up. Stir it up. You have not because you ask not. And faith needs something to attach itself to. And it comes from that place of hope. That place of hope. You know, you need to attach your imagination to it. And you need to get pictures in your mind and your heart involved with faith. Faith is more than just saying it and declaring it, but it's positioning your whole life for it. Lord, I know that you've got good things in store for me. I'm going to take that step of faith. I'm going to step out of the boat. I'm going to see what you have for me. So what are you believing for? What are you asking for this year? Your marriage, your work, health, career, family, business, maybe your house. What are you asking for? What are you believing for? And the Lord wants to include you in the process of what He's doing and what He wants to do through you. It's not telling God what you want to do, but partnering with the Holy Spirit and your spirit. That's the beautiful thing about walking with Jesus. We partner with the Holy Spirit. It's like, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you up to? I'm going to follow you. Yeah. I'm choosing to follow you. It's not by your own strength, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's not by might, not by strength, but it's by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you leading me into this year? I believe that God wants to increase your faith today for this year, to believe for great and mighty things, to believe for great and mighty things. You know, one scripture, and this scripture is just burning in my spirit from the moment the clock ticked over into January this year. This scripture, I was reading the Bible and this scripture just jumped out at me and it just kept burning my spirit, and I've been meditating on it, I've been praying over it. I'm like, God, what are you doing in me in this scripture? And I believe that this scripture is prophetic for people all around this auditorium today. I believe that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's look at that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. This is Paul the Apostle. He says this. Brothers and sisters. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Forgetting what lies behind. I mean, so Paul writes, he's writing to the Philippian church, and he writes this letter to them, and he's saying, he's saying, hey, brothers and sisters. So he's appealing to them. He's leaning in close to the church of God. He's leaning in close to disciples. He's leaning in close to believers. And he's saying, hey, listen. He's saying, not that I've already obtained. Do not consider that I've made it my own. I'm not depending on my own strength. I'm not depending on my own achievements. This is Paul the Apostle. He literally wrote more than half of the New Testament. He was probably the greatest Christian, greatest disciple, believer, leader of the church. And he's like, hey, I haven't arrived. I haven't made it. All my accomplishments, everything that I've done in my life, all my things, I haven't achieved it. I'm pressing on. There is more. Come on, there is more. I'm not depending on my own strengths. His dependence was on God. Paul was educated. He was qualified. The Bible said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. So he had so much head knowledge and passion and zeal and drive, but he was still totally dependent on God. He was still after the more. He was still reaching forward saying, God, you've got more for me. You've got more for me. All of the achievements and the churches that I've planted and everything I've done and the letters, there's so much more. He's saying, I haven't all got it together. I haven't achieved it. I haven't arrived, but there's more. You know, so often we make it complicated. And then he goes on and he says, one thing I do. I love this phrase, one thing. A really powerful phrase in Scripture. One thing. So often we make it complicated. I mean, we sang about that this morning. We make life and ministry and discipleship and following Jesus and the Christian life, we make it so complicated. But Paul's saying, hey, one thing. I love this word, one thing. There's many times it says this in the Scripture, this phrase, one thing, really important, really important. Jesus teaches us the simpleness of devotion to him first and foremost. You know, when he's talking to the rich young ruler and the rich young ruler said, you know, I've done all of these things. And then Jesus said, hey, there's one thing you lack. Sell all you have and come follow me. What was he saying? He's saying, you've complicated it all. Just keep your eyes firmly fixed on me, on the one thing. And then when he's talking to Mary and Martha, remember that story, he's talking to Mary and Martha, and Martha was busy doing all the stuff and achieving and everything, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, you've got this one thing necessary to sit in the presence of Jesus. So important. And then David, King David in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27 verse 4, he writes this, he says, one thing have I desired. This one thing I'm seeking after, to sit in your presence, to gaze upon your beauty. This one thing, so important in life. We get so complicated with all the stuff. We've got to get back to the simpleness. Got to get back to the one thing. What's the one thing we need to do? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to listen to him. All that matters, this is how I like to put it, all that matters is the presence of God. How aware am I with the presence of God? This year, I choose to be a person of faith and be listening and aware of the presence of God in my life, in every moment of my life. And some of you here, you might be thinking, okay, God, but what are your plans and purposes for my life this year? What do you want to do in my life this year? You know, if you don't know God's purpose for your life yet, you can know his presence right now. Just follow his presence. Just be in his presence. But here, Paul says, he goes, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. You know, there's some things that we need to forget. There's some things we need to remember. And many times, we remember the things we should forget, and we forget the things we should remember. In the Christian life, I mean, the Bible says, hey, remember God's goodness. Remember where he took you from. Remember your salvation. Remember the testimony. Remember his good things. Remember what God has done in your life. Remember his laws. Remember his ways. But then also it says, forget the past. forget your sins, forget your mistakes, forget what lies behind and move forward into what God has for us. Often Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. This is actually what repentance means. It means a total turning around. Lord, I'm turning around from that way, that life, and I'm going to follow you. That's what repentance and forgiveness is. You know, there's over 100 verses in the Bible about God not remembering your past mistakes. How many are glad about that? I'm so glad that God doesn't remember my past or my mistakes or my issues. Man, God is so good. You know, someone once said, if you keep looking back, you'll miss what's in front of you. It's like driving a car. How many of you have tried driving a car and keeping your eyes, not on the front, but on the rear vision mirror, and you're driving the car and you're always looking in the rear vision, you're always looking back, always looking back. How many know if you keep doing that, you're going to have a bit of a problem? You might have a crash. It's the same in our spiritual lives. If you keep looking back, if you keep looking to the past, if you keep reminding yourself of the past and the mistakes and the stuff that's happened yesteryear, it's going to inhibit you from moving forward into what God has for you this year. Amen? Don't dwell on the past. This is where so many people are in bondages, even believers. Why? Because of maybe past hurt or offense or mistakes. What if I did that? I should have done that. I should have said that. What if that happened? And it inhibits us from pressing forward into what God has for you. I know that God has got great and mighty things for you this year. He's got great and mighty promises, and he's got plans, and he's got a purpose, and he's got a future. He's got fresh vision for each one of you. But you're not going to receive it. You're not going to enter into it if you keep looking back. This is, lately our family have been going to the tennis. I love Melbourne, love living in Melbourne. It's the sporting capital, they say, of Australia. And not sure about the cricket, sorry, Dave, but I do like the tennis. We've been going to the tennis, and it's great seeing these amazing tennis players play tennis. And one of my daughters, Maddie, she loves netball, and she plays netball, and she's, you know, getting specific training and coaching for playing netball and learning all the skills. But she met her idol over the holidays and got some one-on-one training with her idol. It was awesome. She taught her all these different skills and everything, but also she taught her about the self-talk. What do you say to yourself when you've made a mistake? You know, and I see this even when we went to the tennis last week. You see these amazing tennis players, and they do a double fault. You know, they go for a serve and they do a double fault. And it's like, you see the shoulders drop, and then they start talking to themselves. And it's like, what are they saying? I can't repeat some of the stuff that they're saying, but the self-talk that's going on in their lives to get themselves out of this place of, oh, I've made a mistake, I've stuffed up, I'm not playing too well. You know, that's the self-talk, and it's the same in our spiritual lives. It's the same in our spiritual lives. When we make a mistake, what are you telling yourself? Hang on, God, you've forgiven me. God, you've cleansed me. Lord, it's a new day. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, your faithfulness. Lord, you're going to lead me and guide me. This is the self-talk that we need to tell ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And this is the power of a renewed mind. Because what God wants to do through us starts with the transformation that he's doing in us. It starts within us. What are you telling yourselves? What is your mind? What are you saying to yourself? You know, are you renewing your mind with the word of God? Are you renewing your mind? You know, if we don't be careful, we can develop a victim mentality. We've heard that phrase, victim mentality, about past mistakes, about failures, about, oh, poor old me, woe is me. We can have a pity party. It's like, oh God, you haven't come through, you've done this, or I did this, or that person did this, I'm so depressed, I'm so annoyed. And pretty soon, the self-talk that is happening in your spirit is attaching yourself to the past, and it's stopping you from going forward into the future. This is what dwelling on the past looks like. It affects your emotions, your spiritual health, your growth, your language, emotions, your spiritual vitality. Not only that, it affects other people around you, because then your language, you start talking negative, you start talking bad things and false things, and you're spreading this negativity around your world. It's so, so important to watch what you say. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. This is amazing. It says, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double." This is a word here for us. Let's be prisoners of hope, not prisoners of the past. Come on, let's be prisoners of hope, not prisoners of the past. Yes, we can learn from the past, but let's be a prisoner of hope. Let faith rise up again. What do you long for that God is saying, forget and do not dwell on it? I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Actually, let's have a look at this scripture. 43, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. It says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold," everybody say behold. Everybody say behold. Come on. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Wow, that is such a prophetic word for us that we can lay a hold of. It's time to let go of the past. It's time to forget the former things. And I think this is a word for us today, because God is about to do a new thing in your life and it's springing forth. And the issue is, are we going to perceive it? Are we going to see it? And the only way that we can perceive it and grasp it is by faith, is by faith. "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Aren't you glad about that? Man, if you're feeling like you're in a desert season or you've been in a desert season, God's going to make a way. If you feel like you've been in a wilderness season, God's going to make a way. He's doing something new. He's making the crooked paths straight again. Here's the point. As long as you're attached to your past, you negate what God wants to do in your future. Let me say that again. As long as you're attached to your past, you negate what God wants to do in your future. You know, God is constantly working. He's working behind the scenes in ways that we can't fully comprehend yet. His plans are not limited by our past or constrained by our current circumstances. They are fresh, transformative, and beyond anything we can imagine. God has got good things in store. Turn the person next to you and go, "God has got good things in store for you." Come on, declare it over them. God has got good things in store for you. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 in the Message version says this: "God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And he does it not by pushing you around, but by working within you, his spirit, deeply and gently working within us." God's got good things in store. Come on, I want to stir you up this morning. God has got good things in store for you. The future is bright for you. The future is bright for you, your family, your marriage, your kids. God has got good things in store for you. For this church, God has got good things in store. And I want to take a little bit of time and look at this story in the Old Testament. It's probably one of the most famous stories that we all tend to go back to as believers and as Christians. We always talk about this story in Scripture, and it's the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and entering into the Promised Land. I love this story. It's actually... there's so many similarities for us in our spiritual walk with God. And it's not about us coming out of, you know, bondage and going to heaven, but it's actually experiencing the more of the kingdom now right here, right now in our lives. There's this ongoing invitation for more that God has. You know, once you taste and see that the Lord is good, you can't go back. It's like, I've tasted something. I've experienced something in God, in the kingdom, that I can't go back. It's like, I just want more. It's funny because in the kingdom, when you taste and experience God, yes, he satisfies you, but he satisfies you with this satisfaction that wants more, that wants more and more and more. That's the beautiful thing about life in the kingdom and life with Jesus. He's got so much more. Salvation and the cross, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, and salvation is just the doorway to the promises that God has for each one of us. Amen. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, this is this amazing story of the Israelites and how they had left Egypt and they're in the wilderness and they're about to enter into the promised land. And Moses sends out the 12 spies, and he takes a member of each tribe of Israel, so 12 tribes of Israel, and he sends out those 12 spies to go and spy out the land. In Numbers chapter 13, and in verse 3 it says, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were the heads of the people of Israel. So they were camped in this place called Paran. Now, what's really interesting, this word Paran in the Hebrew, it means a place of decision. They were sitting in this place of decision. Another word for it is this place of dubious, this place of doubt. So they were sitting in this place, and Moses said, right, we're going to go out and spy out the land. The Israelites, they were in this place of doubt. They were in this place of decision. Are we going to go back or are we going to move forward? This place of decision. You know, this place of doubt. You know, doubt means to be uncertain, unsure, hesitant, undecided, unsettled. You're wavering. You're in a quandary, in a dilemma. You're skeptical, you're suspicious. It's this in-between stage. And the Lord doesn't want us to stay in that place. He wants us to make a decision to move forward. God cannot work with people like that. He can't work with people who are full of doubt. He works with people who are full of faith. We need to confess our doubt and our fears and repent and believe again. Our faith is in God and his character, his goodness, his love, his future. God has got an incredible future for you and I. And your faith is precious. It's really, really precious. It's worth more than gold. So hold on to your faith. It's like, no, Lord, I believe. No, Lord, you said it. I'm believing for it. It's more valuable than gold. Having faith in God is actually the true riches of the kingdom. And then we, you know, further on in that chapter, Moses sent out the spies to spy out the land of Canaan. And they came back and they brought back a report. 10 spies brought back a report of, yeah, there was grapes, massive big grapes and pomegranates and honey, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But they said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight, and this land is too big. These guys are too mighty that we won't be able to take them. They sized up their surrounds and situation and themselves. They sized up themselves. Moses didn't tell them to do that. He said, don't size up yourselves, size up the land. You know, when we magnify God, we make him bigger. We magnify the Lord. That's why it says in Psalms, magnify the Lord. Magnify him. Let's exalt his name together. Let's see how he sees. Let's see what God sees. That's what faith does. It zooms out to the big picture. You know, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our positional reality. You know, we're called to be eagles, soaring above this stuff and seeing the big picture. You know, we're called to see God in our situation and see him bigger than our problem. Be careful not to size up yourself
because you'll always see your weaknesses and not his strengths. And what happened? The 10 spies went out. The 12 spies went out. The 10 came back with a bad report. Two, Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. They were like, we can do this. We can do this. And what happened? The Israelites believed the bad report. And because of that, they didn't enter the promised land. Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land, but because they believed the bad report, and the people believed that bad report, all the people believed that bad report, they didn't enter into the promised land. Because, you know, the report you believe determines the future you receive. I'm going to say that again. The report you believe determines the future you receive. What report are you going to believe? Do you believe that God's got good things in store for me, for you, for this church, for our family, for our situation? God, I'm believing the good things that God has. You know, these 10 spies who believed the bad report, they were carrying this one bunch of grapes between the two of them. It was so big. They were carrying the reality, but they were experiencing their perspective. The reality they were carrying, but they were experiencing their perspective. I liken this to those spies inside of us. What are those spies inside of you? The negative voices. Your thoughts define you. As a man thinks, so shall he be. That's what the scripture says. Your thoughts are the spies that determine whether you're taking a step of faith into the promised land. You know, when God commanded them to take the promised land, he gave them the ability to do that as well. He said, I will be with you. But that bad report spread throughout. Fear will always turn good news into a bad report. So what kind of report are you going to spread? What kind of report are you going to spread? What kind of encouragement are you going to give people? Don't turn good news into a bad report. Turn bad news into a good report. The report, the news is not the report. The report is what you make of what happened. This is faith, and I love what Caleb did. I love what Caleb did. In verse 30, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb was like, I mean, another version said, Caleb said, shut up. Sometimes there are voices in our lives that we have to tell them, shut up. I'm not going to listen to that voice. I'm not going to listen to that negative report. Maybe it's those voices inside of us. No, I'm not going to listen to that. You need to say, shut up. I'm going to believe what the Lord says. Joshua and Caleb were people full of faith and they entered into the promised land. You know, I just feel that that's a warning for us today. A warning for us to not look back. Unbelief and looking back causes you not to enter into the promises of God. So it's time to let faith infuse your heart again. And it's like, Lord, I'm going to believe for good things this year. I love that. Here's my last point. I'm going to get the worship team up here. A faith-filled life propels you into your future. A faith-filled life propels you into your future. You know, and if you are someone this morning and you're thinking, okay, I'm not sure what my future looks like. I'm not sure what the purposes of God are for me right now. Well, that's an invitation for you to get close to God. That's an invitation for you to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's an invitation for you to be a person of the presence. Lord, I'm going to sit in your presence. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to seek you first, and then you're going to make the way clear. because a faithful life will propel you into your future when you're full of faith. But when you're full of fear or full of doubt or full of uncertainty, that's going to cause you to shrink back and go, oh, what if? Maybe I should look back. Maybe I should, what if I should have done that? You know, trust and mystery is the currency of relationship and intimacy with God. So often in my life, I've not known what the future holds. So often in my life, I've not known what God is up to. But that is a season of trust. It's like, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to trust in the mystery and trust you in this season. I'm going to experience you. You know, it's more than just having information about him, but it's being intimate with him. God's desire is for you to experience more of him this year. God's desire is for you to experience a deepening relationship with you, with him this year. I know that he's got promises for each one of us. He's got an amazing future and a purpose for each one of us this year. But it's going to take faith to step in. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? What report are you going to believe? You know, the power of faith will propel you into your future. And I really want to pray for people here this morning who are struggling maybe with the past or what has happened. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you keep looking back to last year or the year before or some stuff that has happened in your life, and you feel that those things have been chains that have held you back from moving into what God has for you. I know that God has got more. God has got so much more. And I want you to take a step of faith this year. I want you to decide, Lord, I'm going to take a step of faith this year. With whatever you have for me, I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to live according to the past, but I'm going to live by faith because I know that you've got good things in store for me. And if that's you this morning and you want to make a decision today, Lord, I want to leave the past behind. I want to let go of my mistakes or my sin or the stuff that's happened. And I want to say yes to faith. I want to say yes to everything that you have for me. I want to say yes for the more that you have for me. I'm going to open the altar right now. And as a sign, as a step of faith, I want you to get out of your seat, come to the front. We're going to have a few moments in worship. I'm not going to pray for you. I'll pray for everybody generically, but I want you to do business with God this morning. Right now, why don't you just close your eyes? Lord, I thank you, that Lord, that you are speaking to people's hearts right now. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? Lord, would your word take deep root into our hearts and our souls and our spirits this year? Lord, would it bring forth fruit? Lord, this morning I pray for each and every person, Lord, that has heard your word, that has responded today, Lord. I pray, Lord, for a breaking off of the old, past chains, past hurts. Lord, if there needs to be forgiveness, Lord, I pray right now that you'll release forgiveness into people's hearts and lives. If there needs to be healing right now, bring healing. Lord, I pray for an infusion of faith to rise up in your people again, Lord. An infusion of faith, Lord, to reach forward into everything that you have. Lord, to step out of the boat, to take that step of faith, Lord, to let go of the past, Lord. Lord, and if there's stuff that we need to forget, Lord, I pray supernaturally, let there be a forgetting, let there be healing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for people's souls, people's spirits right now. I pray for people's minds, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that chains will be broken off. Lord, I pray for the power of faith, Lord, to rise up again. Lord, that we might step into all that you have. Lord, for each person here today that has responded, Lord, I pray a blessing, Lord. I pray for an infusion of faith in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's begin to sing right now. Let's begin to pray.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.